रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 9 चैप्टर 3 टेक्स्ट नंबर 10। सुकन्या चवनम प्राप्त प्राप्य पतिम परमकोपनम प्रिणयामाश्चित्तज्ञा अप्रमत्ता अनुवृत्ति भी। वेरी इरिटेबल बट सिंस सुकन्या हैड गॉट हिम एज हर हजबेंड शी डेल्ट विथ हिम वेरी केयरफुली अकॉर्डिंग टू हिज मूड नोइंग हिज माइंड शी परफॉर्म सर्विस टू हिम विदाउट बींग बिविल्डर्ड। पर्पट दिस इज अ इंडिकेशन ऑफ द रिलेशनशिप बिटवीन हजबेंड एंड वाइफ। अ ग्रेट पर्सनैलिटी लाइक चवन मुनि has the temperament of always wanting to be in a superior position. Such a person cannot submit to anyone. Therefore, Chavan Muni had an irritable temperament. His wife Sukanya could understand his attitude, and under the circumstances, she treated him accordingly. If any wife wants to be happy with her husband, she must try to understand her husband's temperament and please him. This is victory of a woman. Even in the dealings of Lord Krishna with different queens, it is seen that although the queens were the daughters of great kings, they placed themselves before Krishna as his maid servants. However great a woman may be, she must place herself before her husband in this way. That is to say that she must be ready to carry out her husband's order and please him in all circumstances. Then her life will be successful. When the wife becomes irritable as the husband, their life at home is sure to be disturbed or ultimately completely broken. In modern days, wife is never submissive, and therefore home life is broken even by slight incidents. Either the wife or husband may take advantage of the divorce laws. According to Vedic law, however, there is no such thing as divorce law, and woman must be trained to be submissive at the will of her husband. Westerners contend that this is slave mentality, but factually it is not. It is a tactic by which a woman can conquer the heart of her husband, however irritable or cruel he may be. In this case, we clearly see that although Chavan Muni was not young, but indeed old enough to be Sukanya's grandfather, and was also very irritable. Sukanya, the beautiful daughter of a king, submitted herself to her old husband and tried to please him in all respect. Thus, she was a faithful and a chaste wife. So actually for yesterday, all of you must have a nice feast of Radhashtami, Gaurang Prabhu's lecture, and that's a nice feast, and in the evening a nice sweet lecture by Gaur Gopal Prabhu. And next day for me giving a class is like serving a Karela sabji to all of you. But it's obvious that if anybody has a lot of sweets, Karela is the antidote for diabetes. So maybe that's why they arranged my class. So here is the story of Sukanya, who with her father had gone to ashram of Chavan Muni. And there she sees two glowworms. And in a hole of an earthworm. And just gets excited and tries to pierce them. And the blood starts coming out, and then her father says that somebody, because then what happens is all the servants suffer, they cannot pass stool and urine. All the soldiers, they start suffering, and the king uses the word that somebody has poisoned the ashram. And then Sukanya comes and apologizes, she confesses, owns up that because of me, I saw those glowworms. And then ultimately, just to, because that glowworm was Chyavanamuni himself, and king then, just as a part of atonement, offers his daughter to Chyavanamuni. Now if you analyze this situation, Sukanya had gone to an ashram, and in an ashram, if she says sees any glowworms and she tries to pierce it with a thorn, actually once you are in an ashram, in a temple, you need not be distracted. But what happened with Sukanya typically is she goes to that ashram and gets distracted. In our life also it happens that when we enter ISKCON, we enter with a very humble mood. And then eventually we become senior, we get some position, we become some in charge. So if I was just analyzing this story, and I thought that these are all like those glowworms, what Sukanya saw. Because then, so the stepwise, if you see, that firstly what happened is she got attracted, she got illusioned by those glowworms. We also get illusioned by the positions we get in our devotional service. Like, for example, the initial days, all of you, if can remember, at least I remember my initial days, how I was humble, ready to offer obeisances to everyone. And then as day pass by, we don't even care if some devotee is passing by. I give the example of a telephone operator. We had telephone operators at JJ Hospital where I was working. And many times the tone of the operator used to change. By this we used to recognize. Like for example, a new telephone operator when he was appointed. And he used to be like, you call JJ Hospital and he used to say, Namaskar, JJ Hospital, kya seva karu? And we used to be like, oh, then we used to understand new operator. And then after a few days, he says, Namaskar, JJ. After a few days, he just says, JJ. He picks up the phone, any phone. Then we start realizing that he is growing old. And after a few days, he picks up the phone and does not say anything. And then we ask, is it JJ? Haan, bola na. And, oh, to see what has happened. That enthusiasm which was there initially, he was like, kya seva karu, this. And in the end, I used to get confused, you know, when I used to call the hospital and no voice from the other end. I said, is it JJ? And then he used to, ha, bola, bola, lokar. So same person has now become senior. Okay? And maybe something like this happens in our devotional life. That as we grow in devotional life, we get illusioned by such things. Like for example, we tell that initially when we are outside the temple, Maya Devi is attacking through our relatives, okay, that don't go, all such things long back, like 10-15 years back, all of you must have faced this, that relatives telling us don't take up to devotional service. This is all Maya attacking through them. But once we enter the temple, Maya Devi enters along with us, okay, and then she starts attacking through devotees. And here also she is there. She is offering us various positions. So getting a position, getting a chance to serve is nice, but we have to be always be careful that whether I am getting illusioned by this. I term it as illusions in ISKCON. You know, so there are some illusions by which we get some position, we become a preacher, or we may become a counselor. And there is a tendency to get into all these illusions. Now here, this is such a heavy purport where, you know, and Srila Prabhupada also very aptly says that Westerners consider this as slave mentality. They will never understand. There was one author who wrote a book comparing the conditions in India and conditions in the Western world with respect to marriage. Like India, this is the culture that a wife has to be humble, tolerant. There is this like divorce. Nowadays, this divorce and all has come in, but initially there was nothing called as divorce. So if a daughter is not getting married, so he has compared various scenarios. If the daughter is not getting married, and then the mother used to sometimes tell her, or is refusing to get married, she used to say that by now, you have grown up so much that by now you should have had 2-3 children. That used to be the dialogue of the mother. And then the same author, he had made a chart. On the opposite side, he says that in the Western world, the mother says, you have grown so much that by now you should have 2-3 divorces. You know, this is the way in India, attending marriage is such a thing, you know. Like, for example, if I don't go for anybody's marriage, like that person for 3-4 years, some way or other, sometime, or relatives, they will start telling you, you didn't come for my marriage. You didn't come for my marriage. They will keep on talking. In the Western world, when somebody was apologizing, they, sorry, I couldn't come for the marriage, I'm so sorry. She said, okay, you can come next time, you know. So, because the reason is they don't follow this philosophy. So this is the difference between our rich Indian culture and the Western culture. He had given one more example. He says that in India, when we used to, we tell the stories of king, in the childhood we used to listen this king. He says there was a king, there was a queen, they had one son, they had one daughter. Now how does a person in the Western world tell the story? He said there was a king and there was a queen and they were staying with the son which the king had from his second wife and a daughter which the queen had from her first husband. You know, this is the way they tell those parikathas, all those in the Western world. And so this is a very, very heavy philosophy for the Western people, where Srila Prabhupada very nicely says that the Westerners will not understand this, okay? Because the culture there is not like that. But because of mercy of Srila Prabhupada, we get an opportunity to bring this culture in India back and even in the Western world. Once Srila Prabhupada was in Hong Kong and he was giving a lecture. And Burujan Prabhu and Jagat Tarini Mataji was there. And Srila Prabhupada started glorifying Shyam Sundar Prabhu, that how Shyam Sundar Prabhu has sacrificed his life for me. And he says his father is saying that, come, take care of the business and you will earn like anything. And still he is there with me. And then Srila Prabhupada started speaking about Jagat Tarini Mataji and he told the story. He said she was an Australian actress and staying in Los Angeles. And she just joined the temple and Srila Prabhupada in the exact words actually I have written down. Where Srila Prabhupada says that I just requested her to go to Hong Kong and get married with Burujan Prabhu. She was not even knowing what kind of husband she was accepting. Okay? But still she went. She was ready for do it for the service of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada says, I asked her and told her to marry Burujan. She never saw him, did not know what kind of husband she would be accepting. Simply on my word, she came from Los Angeles and got married. The only consideration was how to please Krishna. So this is power of Srila Prabhupada's ISKCON, that even the Westerners, actress who is actress by profession, she becomes so humble by coming in contact with Srila Prabhupada. And further also she received Srila Prabhupada's mercy so many times. Like once Subhag Maharaj was sharing with Bhurijan Prabhu that Srila Prabhupada once was sitting in a very deep thought and he saw that tears are coming out from Srila Prabhupada's eyes. And then Subhag Maharaj asked Srila Prabhupada that, why are you crying? And Srila Prabhupada said, I'm thinking of my two disciples who are serving in Hong Kong. And he says that they have sacrificed so much for me and they are suffering there so much. So much mercy they got. And there was once a time where Bhurijan Prabhu had some disturbed phase in his devotional life. And Srila Prabhupada was going to Hong Kong and he was going to catch a flight from Honolulu airport. And somebody told Srila Prabhupada that once you go to Hong Kong, please expect the unexpected. And Bhurijan Prabhu was disturbed. Srila Prabhupada said, I know Bhurijan is in Maya and I am just going to Hong Kong just to save him. And in that visit, Srila Prabhupada handed over his ring to Jagat Tarini Mataji because she required that inspiration at that point of time. So much mercy of Srila Prabhupada Mataji gets when she follows the instructions of Srila Prabhupada. And Bhurijan Prabhu had once shared that when he and Mataji were in Los Angeles, he was speaking in a class and he said that, I am married since 21 years. And one person got up and raised a doubt. He said, to the same person? He said, yes, to the same person. And then in the purport to this incident in the book, My Glorious Spiritual Master, he writes that what was the success formula of his marriage life? He said that one should view his commitment to the marriage as a direct service to spiritual master and respect the partner's Krishna consciousness and commit yourself in taking care or raising the children in Krishna consciousness. This is very important because sometimes it happens that husband is in a different project working and wife is in a different project. But child is like a common project of the husband. And so therefore they say that once the child appears in the family, all the fights and all go down. Because now there is a common project. There is to raise that child in Krishna consciousness. He makes very nice statements. He said, illicit sex corrodes Krishna consciousness. And he said, with all these principles, plus no television, made and Krishna's mercy, and of course some luck, he said, has made my marriage work. Now if we want to study the duties of the husband and wife, I thought of discussing the incidents where Ram is leaving about to go for when he is put he's going to go for the exile and he meets Sita. And that conversation is one of the best conversations which explains the duties of husband and wife. Now with so many brahmacharis in the class, it's very wrong on my part to talk about the duties of husband and wife. But you can always translate it. Like for example, Urmila Mataji was once attending a class of a temple president. And she said that temple president, nobody was kind of listening to him. So he was giving a very powerful class that how one should surrender himself to the temple president. And she said, I was sitting in the class and I was thinking how this class is useful to me. How can I use this class for myself? And then she said, okay, I'll translate it for me like this, that my husband, my house is a temple, my husband is the temple president. And all these my children are my co-brahmacharis. And with them, under the leadership of the temple president, my husband, I'll try to make this temple a nice place, my home a nice place. So this is how she has translated. So you also can translate it the way you want for these duties of husband and wife. There was one Marathi author who had written a book on a person, a chapter in a book, on a person who used to travel by train. from Bombay to Pune. There are people who commute every day for jobs. And then this person describes his life as 8 into 324. He says, my 8 hours are in the train, 8 hours at job, and my 8 hours at home. And he is doing this for 15 years. And then he glorifies his wife, where he says that in last 15 years, unfortunately, I couldn't get a job in Pune, so I've been traveling like this. I meet my children only on weekends. But what happens during the week, my wife has never let me know. Because he says, by the time I go home, they are sleeping, and early morning I get up and I come. And he said, my wife never told me that when they fell sick or their problems in the school. And they are doing well in school and everything. But he said, she never told me. She took care of all the problems so that I can do my duties properly. A very example from the material world where kind of a humble wife, how she is comforting the husband. I was trying to translate it for us, you know, what we, the relation with the spiritual master, sometimes it is said that the way a wife serves the husband, crudely in a similar way, a disciple has to serve the spiritual master. So the spiritual master comes to the temple, and we can translate it like this, that he has to take up a lot of strain to preach all over the world. So we should see to it that when he comes here, once Shridama Prabhu was sharing with us, that when His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj comes to Mumbai, it's like he's coming home. So it should not be that once he's coming here, we should be ready with our list of problems, that okay, when Maharaj comes, I have to ask him this. Instead, rather provide such a comfortable atmosphere that he feels home. Similar to the kind of behavior the wife of this person was doing, that last 15 years, she never complained to the husband. She never complained that this son was sick and you are always traveling and I have to take care of everything. No. Taking responsibility so that the husband is comfortable. And a similar principle is for the disciple, that taking responsibility so that the spiritual master can perform his all duties to his spiritual master. Now, this conversation between Ram and Sita is such a nice conversation, where Sita was not yet knowing that Ram has been sent to exile. And she is dreaming of the coronation ceremony, and Ram enters. And the way Ramayana has described the whole incident, he says, as soon as Ram enters, Sita gets up. You know, that kind of respectful atmosphere, when the husband enters, the wife gets up. Nowadays, like I'm a professor in a college, medical college, we enter the classroom, students don't get up. You know, that culture has gone, and we go and we tell them, please get up. And then they give a look like this, you know, that you are telling me to get up, and they'll get up. And then, you know, the way they get up, we feel that it's much better that they were sitting. You know, the faces they make. And I was discussing this that with some of the Matajis, that see the kind of culture it is, that when husband comes, wife gets up. And one of the Mataji, she shared with me that she said, yeah, wife nowadays also wife get up, but they go to the other room, you know, because they don't want to get into fights. But the culture what is there in ISKCON, of course they were talking about the Karmi culture, not the culture in ISKCON. Like once we had been to Jagannath Puri with a very small group with Radhanath Maharaj. And one of the devotees joined the yatra late. And he directly came to this Hanuman Bedi. And when he came there, his wife was there in the kirtan. And when she saw him, she offered obeisance. Such rich culture is there in our movement. Because of this purports, this teachings of Srila Prabhupada. And Sita saw that Ram was pale and she could recognize. The first thing after seeing Ram, she asked that what is the problem? You know, a characteristic of a chaste wife, that she could immediately realize that Ram was going through some mental turmoil. because she saw that he was pale, perspiring, without umbrella, the servants were not there. And she asked that, what troubles you? And then Ram told the whole story. Now Ram also is such a modest person. Actually he was not at fault, and still he was punished. Normally when we are punished, we are at fault. And therefore typically what happens is I'll just tell you a story of three small innocent children being brought to a police station. And the chief police inspector started thinking that why these innocent children are brought here. So there were four children. So he asked the constable that why you have got these innocent children? He said, you only ask them. And then the inspector inquired that, what were you doing? He said, we were actually playing in the garden, in a zoo. So what were you doing? What is your name? He said, they're Marathi boys. He said, maza nav Pawar. Me sihala shengdane ghalat hoto. I was feeding groundnuts to the lion. Second person comes in. He says, what is your name? He said, maza nav Patil. What were you doing? Sihala shengdane ghalat hoto. Third person comes. He said, tuja nav kai? He says, maza nav shengdane. So, how innocently they were telling that we were throwing groundnuts on the lion. Now, this is typically happens with us. You know, how innocent we become when we make mistakes. When we mistakes, we, you know, typically, like most of the times I am I was on the sexual harassment cell. Anti-sexual harassment cell, sorry. of our college. And there, you know, I had to inquire so many the sexual harassment cases. And the way people talk, actually, you know, there were social workers. And social worker, I think I had told this in the last class, that the social worker was supposed to sign some amount for a female's operation, a girl. And then what happens is, the girl is thoroughly examined by the social worker because she feels that he's a doctor because sitting with the apron. And the girl comes out and her auntie asks her that what happened. He said, he examined me. And the auntie is a nurse in our hospital. So she realizes that he's not supposed to examine a girl. He's a social worker, just supposed to sanction. All such social work, what we talk about, and these are the kind of social workers are there. And the way they become innocent, actually, I didn't do anything. I just, you know, asked her. And even with us, when we have some fights with some devotees and when we are asked what happened, how innocent we become, like those boys throwing groundnuts to the lion. You know, we become, no, actually, I was just passing by and I said something to that devotee gently, whether you can do this. And he started shouting at me. You know, and before our counselor or before our senior devotee was inquiring, suddenly we become innocent. Actually, we do very grievous offenses, but become innocent. Now, Ram was innocent, actually, had not done anything and was unnecessarily been punished and been sent to exile. But still, he was so modest. He didn't say anything. He said, my mother, Kaikai, she has desired this. And because of this, I have to go to the forest. And then he instructs Sita that during this period, you should involve yourself in fast, in prayers, and you should serve. And while he gives the list of people he should serve, he talks about Dasharath, he talks about Sumitra, he talks about his own mother, and also talks about Kaikai. He said, you should serve Kaikai also. So it's not that he has been carrying in the heart that she, because of her I am suffering, no. And then he tells Sita that you should serve Bharat also. And gives her instructions how you should serve Bharat. He said, don't glorify me in front of Bharat because powerful people don't like this. And Sita was like dumbfounded listening to all those things, because she knew that Ram is not joking. He meant what he said. And Sita then starts speaking that, how can you speak like this? Because you are so strong, worthy for offering protection to the weak. So he's indicating that I am weak and you should offer me protection. And then she describes the characteristic of a chaste wife. She says, for a chaste woman, father, brother, mother, or any other relation is not the real shelter. Now, this is typically what happens in Grihastha Ashram, that a wife maintains her attachment to the parents and husband is struggling to break those attachments. Something like that keeps on happening. Now, here Sita Devi says that only shelter of a chaste woman is her husband and not her father, mother, mother-in-law, anyone. And nowadays what happens is there is a tendency, like people, you know, what we say, that try to keep a claim at both the places. Okay, let me keep my attachment here also with my original family. And then Sita says that wife should share the husband's fortune, so as and the unfortunate events. So as per religious codes, I should come with you. And then she describes that I shall walk before you clearing the sharp grass and thorns. It's not that she just didn't want to stay there and she wanted to accompany. The reason why Sita wanted to accompany Lord Ram, whether Sita wanted to do service, she said, as you walk in the forest, I will remove the sharp grass and thorns. So this is the mood. Even in the case of Devahuti, she was also like Sukanya, was married to Kardam Muni. And she also, the description in the Srimad Bhagavatam, if you will read, it is said that she served without lust, without pride, without envy, without any personal desires. And then further, Mother Sita says that she will happily live under his protection and would prefer forest than heaven without him. Now, just see this statement. She would prefer forest than heaven. Now, Srila Prabhupada talks about divorce in the purport. Now, in divorce cases, what happens is, that is absolutely opposite. They say, I would prefer to stay in heaven than to stay with this person. And here, Sita is exactly saying opposite. I would prefer to stay in the forest than to stay in the heaven without you. So, in a divorce case, typically what happens is, they tell that, okay, I want this much money, one flat, one car, and then you can go wherever you want. You can take divorce. And exactly the opposite scene we can see here. And then she tells Ram that you order me now because you are capable of guarding. And she says, I am determined to die if I am disunited from you. And then Ram starts talking. This component just describes the duties of the husband, where Ram explains to her the reasons why I cannot take you with me. And he says that I cannot see you suffer. Because he says, by taking you with me, I'll be neglecting my duty to protect you. And then he describes the details of a forest life. He says, there are lions, there are beasts. In such a detail that Ram says, there are scorpions, there are mosquitoes, all such things. And says, we have to lie down on a bed of leaves, and we have to take bath in lonely lakes which are full of serpents. There is lot of illness and mental anguish. And then Mother Sita says that all these dangers will be nothing if you are on my side. Even Indra will not be able to harm me. And then she quotes Lord Ram. He said, you had previously told me that wife is a better half of the husband. So how can a half part be left behind? Then Sita remembers an astrologer had once predicted that you will have to leave the palace and go and live in the forest. And then she makes a very nice, profound statement. She says, only when a wife remains chaste, she attains the same destination. It's not that wife always achieves the same destination of the husband, only when she remains chaste. But Ram was still firm on his decision. And then Sita tells why she doesn't want to stay in Ayodhya, because she says that I will not be able to tolerate people criticizing you for leaving me here. Because she says that people will criticize Lord Ram that he was not strong enough to protect Sita in the forest, and that is something I'll not be able to tolerate. So then if you compare this, that Sita not able to tolerate the criticism of Ram, and that's why she wants to be in the forest. And we in the Karmi society see that whenever there are this, when the husbands are sitting together, there is a hot topic of discussion about criticizing each other's, or everyone talks bad about his or her wife. Or when there is a kitty party, the wife start criticizing their husband. You know, they take up them, my husband is like this and this, and they make jokes of their husband. And husbands make jokes of their wife by criticizing. And here we see that Sita says, I'll not be able to tolerate if somebody criticizes you. And then she talks about her consciousness. She said, I'll not be able to cast my eyes on another man even in thought. And Ram was still not ready. And then Sita says that if you leave me, I'll drink poison because I cannot bear separation. And Ram realized that she was senseless because of the grief. Just he had not left and this was her condition. So Ram analyzed the situation that what will happen if he leaves. And then he says that, okay, you can come. Now, how do we translate this for our brahmacharis? This typically happens when somebody wants to join an ashram. You know, he says that I want to join. And then a person maybe, or many times the spiritual master also tests, like Ram was kind of testing Sita, testing her determination. We see here that sometimes the spiritual master also tests. Like some people, they say that I want to join the ashram, and then the real senior people or the spiritual master sometimes tells them that, okay, there is lot of strict life over here. There is discipline. You have to get up. You have to take a cold water bath. The food has to be taken in time. After the breakfast time is over, it's not that you can get up any time and walk in the kitchen. Okay, so and all these things are explained. And same thing like Ram explained to Sita. And at the end, then Ram tells Sita that, okay, give up all your riches to the Brahmins, wear a simple dress, and don't keep any belongings, and come with me. And when an aspiring brahmachari passes through all these tests, this is what exact dialogue the spiritual master tells to that person, that give up all your riches, okay, wear a simple dress, give up all your belongings, and you can join. Now, the question is that we talk about the ideal situation, that this is how a wife should be. But what if somebody is not like this? Okay? It's not that everybody will... people have an inherent nature. What Srila Prabhupada described is the secret. It's an open secret and also a secret formula for a success in Grahastha Ashram. But sometimes the cases may not be like this. Okay? Then at that time, a person should not be rigid, that always reading out these purports to his wife, that you have to follow this, you have to follow this. Okay? Like, I'll just give an example of rigidity. What happens? Once there was an inquiry in the railway, and the railway had derailed. And the inquiry officer was asking the driver, he said, why was the train derailed? And he said, actually what happened, the train was on the proper track, but then there was a man standing there ready to commit suicide. And then that inquiry fellow got very furious, because this had happened before also. He said, how many times I have told you that if there is one person standing on the rail, you should take the train over him. Okay, you should not care for one person's life, because there are 1,000 people sitting in the train. I had told you thousands of times that when there is one person standing on the track, the train should go over him, and Still you didn't follow my instruction. He said, I was following your instructions. I decided to take train over him, but he ran in the field. Okay. And therefore the train went behind him. So this is like a rigidity in following. You should understand the essence. Okay. So that's what happens. So once when I was talking to Radhanath Maharaj, I said, I had some problems dealing with some devotees, not with my family members, but with some devotees. And I said, Maharaj, ideally if one person is supposed to behave like this, as per Srila Prabhupada's philosophy, your devotee is supposed to behave like this. And Maharaj gave a very nice answer. He said, you should try to change people, but if they are not changing, you should change. Okay, so it's not that a person becomes a perfect grahastha just because being rigid in this. Suppose it happens a scenario where a husband is not proper or a wife is not proper, but still a person maintains this humble mood, then it is possible. Okay, one has to tolerate. Like Shidama Prabhu was giving example of a Mataji who used to come to our temple regularly, but her husband was not in ISKCON and was kind of too much addicted to sense gratification. And because of this, but she was always thinking that whether I should, you know, give up my husband. But then she said, no, as per our philosophy, one should just remain chaste and keep on serving. So kept on serving. Unfortunately, the husband was diagnosed as HIV positive. And that point, the husband was shaken up. And then he took up to chanting and started chanting very intensely, because looking at the way wife was doing devotional service, he was inspired. And after 6 months, when they again visited the doctor, the report was negative. It doesn't mean that our chanting makes the report negative. People may take a wrong message. The doctor told him that maybe there are two possibilities. Sometimes we get a false positive report, which may have happened in the first place, or there is some miracle. Now, we don't know what has happened, but we know that at least he has become a devotee. And if the wife would have left him at some point of time just because he's troubling, he would have never become a devotee. Now, his very nice devotee comes to our temple regularly. So, this is the example. Like in our society, we have this rich culture where the wife, when they hear all this philosophy, they follow it also. Okay, so that was one example. And Shidam Prabhu again gave an example to me about his preaching in Ukraine. One Mataji was, she had gone for some program and somehow got late and missed her last train. So she went to the police station. And some police were drunk, actually, she didn't realize. So she said, can I spend my night here? And they opened that police van and they said, you can sleep here. And then every hour, one police used to open the door with a glass of beer or something in his hand, look at her. And she started realizing that what is their intention. And that Mataji, her husband was not a devotee. And then she prayed that if I have been chaste to my husband and in my devotion, please, you know, protect me. And then she said the Narsingh Aarti, and she shouted so loudly, Jai Narsingh, that all the police came and they opened the door. He said, why are you shouting? Just calm down, we'll take you home. And they dropped her home safely. And then she was sharing with Shidam Prabhu that actually I prayed like this, that if I would have been serving chastely to my husband, please protect me. And then eventually the husband after a few days became a devotee. Now typically we see some cases in ISKCON where devotees marry a non-devotee. Now that time devotees show a lot of tolerance and patience, everything. Like for example, somebody marries a non-devotee girl, if she starts chanting, they are excited. She chants 4 rounds, they may give her some presents also. Okay, starts chanting 8 rounds or 12 rounds. And once she starts starting 16th round, they become ecstatic. Okay, now, and this was shared to me by Muralidhar Prabhu's wife, Radharani Mataji. She was telling that this is what I tell the devotees, that once your wife starts chanting 16 rounds, how thankful you become from 1 to 60. But when you get a ready-made wife who is chanting 16 rounds, you take her for granted. This is what typically happens in our society. Okay? So, the same formula actually appears or is applicable for cultivation of devotees. When we are cultivating devotees, some people are very rigid, some people have their this thing. They may not be able to follow Srila Prabhupada's philosophy on day one. But then we should show this patience, tolerance and all those things. And eventually they will change. Okay? So it's not that one has to just give up hope. So maybe it's husband-wife relationship, or maybe it is a relationship between a preacher and a neophyte devotee. I can just share a personal thing that my mother-in-law became devotee, Satyavati Mataji. She became devotee before her husband. And her husband, whom we know as Jaidev Prabhu now, was absolutely against devotional service and used to give lot of homeworks to her, do this work, do this, so that she could not chant. And Mataji used to finish all her work, go on the terrace in the night, and she used to fall down while chanting. So much she used to feel sleepy after that all work. But then she kept on, you know, slowly, slowly preaching to him, and now he has become such a wonderful devotee. So, like, same principle appears in cultivation of devotees, that we should not give up hope, okay, and show a lot of tolerance, patience. Hare Krishna.